It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. MacDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. MacDonald.
In the next few podcasts, I'd like to explore the concept of worship with you. Let's start with the last scene of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verses 16 to 17. It's just before Jesus pronounces the Great Commission. It reads, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." Every time I read this, I wonder about the juxtaposition of worship and doubt. How can a person doubt and worship at the same time? A natural reaction is to say worship and doubt cannot coexist. There are two basic attempts to explain away this tension between worship and doubt in Matthew 28. One of these attempts is to say that there are two different groups of people, one group that worshipped and a different group that doubted. But neither the Greek nor the English text allows this. There was only one group, the 11 disciples. The 11 worshipped Jesus, but some of the 11 doubted. The second attempt is to say that there are two different times. At one time, the 11 worshipped, and at another different time, some of the 11 doubted. Again, neither the Greek nor the English texts allow this. The grammar of the words requires us to conclude that the worship and the doubt took place in the same group of people at the same time. How do we understand this tension between worship and doubt? Here are a couple of insights. First is Matthew's word for worship. It translates the Greek word proskuneo, which our English translations also render as bow down or prostrate. We first encounter this word in Matthew when the wise men or the magi come to worship the infant Jesus in Matthew chapter 2, verses 2, 8, and 11. The Greek word is based on kuneo, meaning to kiss. It designates the ancient Near Eastern custom of bowing down before a person, such as a deified king, and kissing his feet or the hem of his garment to express, as one Greek English dictionary puts it, quote, "in attitude or gesture, one's complete dependence on or submission to a high authority figure," end quote. For Matthew, worship is a term that expresses complete dependence on and submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Second is this word doubt. This particular word for doubt is a rendering of the Greek word distazo. The only other time this word is used in the Bible is during a storm on the Sea of Galilee. We read about that incident in Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33. As Jesus approaches the storm-tossed boat, Peter speaks. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried, "Lord, save me!" Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt? Why did you distazo?" Did you note how Jesus links doubt and little faith? "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" He says little faith, not no faith. This word doubt, distazo, is perhaps best understood in the sense of hesitance or wavering. The word for little faith is linked with worry in Matthew 6, verse 30, fear in Matthew 8, 26 and 14, verse 30, and lack of understanding or discernment in chapter 16, verse 8. So the concept of doubt, distazo, is not unbelief, but a condition in which the disciples are taken a bit past their level of belief. We might call this beyond belief, and this results in a wavering or hesitation. Following Jesus is a life lived in the wholesome tension between worship and doubt. On one hand, we are drawn to Jesus in adoration, obedience, submission, and dependence. On the other hand, we experience hesitance, worry, fear, lack of understanding or discernment, and more. Despite this tension, we continue to follow Jesus. Here are three examples from the life of Peter that illustrate this tension of worship and doubt. We've already watched Peter as he walks toward Jesus on the sea. That's worship. But he becomes afraid and begins to sink. Doubt. When they're safely in the boat again, they worship. Second, in Matthew chapter 16, Peter makes an astonishing statement about Jesus. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Chapter 16, verse 16. An act of worship. A moment later, he takes Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Chapter 16, verse 22. An act of doubt. Distazo. Third, at the Last Supper, Jesus tells the disciples of his impending crucifixion and says to the disciples that they will abandon him. Peter declares, even if I have to die for you, I will never disown you. Chapter 26, verse 35, a declaration of worship, and yet within hours he swears three times that he doesn't know Jesus. Chapter 26, verses 69 to 74, an act of doubt. Was that the end of Peter? If you're a follower of Jesus, are you any different than Peter? I know I'm not. Do you, with the best of intentions, say or commit or do something because of Jesus? Worship. And a short time later, because of worry, fear, or lack of understanding, do you act like you've never known Jesus? Doubt. We grow as a disciple in this place of tension between worship and doubt. Like a toddler, we take our first hesitant steps. We fall, sometimes we get hurt, but we get up again. Eventually, we learn to walk and then run. And there's always more learning, doing, growing. Frederick Buechner says, quote, doubts are the ants in the pants of faith. They keep it awake and moving, end quote. There's truth in that. Peter never forgot that he walked on water for a moment. It marked his life. It stretched his threshold of fear and expanded his understanding of who he was and who Jesus is. Eventually, Peter was even martyred in the name of the Lord Jesus. What about you? Do you move between worship and doubt? You worship, then you run into your worries, your fears, or limits of your understanding of God's ways, and you begin to doubt, waver, hesitate. The Lord may then speak a word of rebuke or encouragement as he reaches out his hand to hold you secure before you sink. And then you begin to worship again in an ever-expanding wonder of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, as a follower of Jesus, I invite you to live with expectancy and joy in that gritty place of growth between worship and doubt.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.